Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The fifth commandment is found in Exodus 20 and verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Dear listening friend, charity is not the only thing that begins at home. Thoughtfulness, truthfulness, honesty, uprightness, good citizenship, and respect for authority, they all begin in the home. Lawlessness often begins in the home also, because there one can learn the disrespect of authority as well as to learn respect for it. If the world is ever going to be a better place, there first must be better homes. The lesson regarding the home from the Word of God must be learned and it must be practiced. So much of the degenerate behavior seen in our world can be attributed to the collapse of the home and its falling away from being what God ordained it to be. The welfare and salvation of society rest in the family, and in the reconstruction of family virtues and values and parental responsibility and authority, and the obedience of children to their parents. There is much disrespect toward the older on the part of the younger, and much of this is because of the disrespectful ways many who are older have conducted their lives, treated their mates, and treated their children, or I should say mistreated their children. The family is the nucleus and the spring of society. There can be no spiritually and morally sound nation unless such is characteristic of the home. It is also true that there can be no sound the church unless there is soundness in the home, because the influence of the home, generally speaking, is greater than that of the church. The home often determines the direction of the church rather than the other way around. The state and the church are both ordained of God, as is the family. The home was instituted in Eden's purity and sinlessness and is the oldest of God's institutions. The home heavenly influences both the state and the church, even though, of course, influences go both ways. The fifth commandment, when learned and believed and obeyed, is one of the surest safeguards, a near guarantee for correct and righteous human behavior. It gives the blueprint for the reign of law and order. It makes possible a life of peace and security and happiness. It will provide, especially for the children and for those who are young in the family, that foundation upon which life can be built and lived as God would have it to be lived. When children obey their parents, they learn to obey those in charge of schools, the governmental officials, employers, and others with whom they will have to deal in life. While children obey parents, they are doing more than just learning the right way of obeying parents. They are obeying a distinct command and expectation of God. All just authority echoes the voice of God. Our holy obligation as children of God is to obey God. The child's holy obligation to parents bears the imprint of the God-man relationship. Now, Christ set the example for honoring parents. In Luke 2 and verse 51, he went down to Nazareth, and the Bible says, he was subject unto them. His first miracle was undertaken at the request of his mother. As he died on the cross, he remarked, Woman, behold thy son. And to another, who was probably John, he said, Behold thy mother. In this fashion, even as his life was going from him, he showed care and concern for his mother and instigated the means for her continued provisions in this life. This fifth commandment is bound upon the Christian by apostolic authority. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The obligation children have to parents is not a one-way street. Parents have obligation to their children, of course. There is no law of God that says children must obey their parents in doing that which is wicked. Many parents are not respected because they are not respectable. To be honored, one must strive to be honorable. Parents must, in some measure, earn and deserve respect as well as the just demand it. Parents earn it. Children learn it. It is futile to expect children to respect parental authority, however, when the same parents do not have respect for divine authority. Paul's comment on this commandment was, "For this is right." It will ever be right to honor and obey parental authority. Parents who have served God and their offspring with patience and devotion and sacrifice and self-denial, denial even of their necessities for themselves, provided the physical and medical care for their children, prayed for them without ceasing, toiled without intermission, hoped through good times and bads, lavished their children with a genuine love akin to the love that God has for His children, such parents, and there be many of this quality, they are entitled to the highest place of living honor, second only to the honor we offer unto deity. To fail to obey and honor such parents is to sin against God by defying His commandment. Parents who are indeed worthy of honor may reap life's richest rewards. But the unworthy parent, who has set a sordid example for his or her young, can well expect to reap as they have sown also. Many parents are deserting their own flesh and blood. They are abusing their own children, even maiming and killing them, casting them off as if they were nothing. Many deprive them of the barest needs because of parental degeneracy, like drunkenness, being that social butterfly, and the seeker of fame and fortune of their own careers, flitting hither and yon, attending to everything of their own selfishness might demand, and even at overwhelming cost, of leaving the care and the upbringing of their children to somebody else. No less are the sins of the irreligious, the profane, the worldly, the godless, the indifferent parents, who take no thought for the spiritual welfare of their children, but who may, at the same moment of spiritual neglect, lavish material abundance upon them. What a vast horde of unworthy parents are marching across the scene of history in our time, and we are seeing daily the disastrous results of such conduct in the lives of people of every age. What many, seemingly, have never learned, or maybe they've forgotten, is that duty to parents does not end with childhood days at home, under parental supervision. Christ rebuked some adults who dishonored their parents when their parents were dependent upon them. Matthew 15:1-9. They were giving to God, but neglecting the care and provision for their parents, which was also commanded by God. Christ condemned such inconsistency and accused them of making God's word null and void and displacing the commandments of God to conform to their own traditions. Many committed the mistake of making secondary duty a priority over a primary one. Providing the necessary care of parents in their old age, when they are sick, when they are no longer able to provide for themselves, is as much a duty to God as any other duty that a child has to his parents, as much as for children to obey parents when the children are young. Now, there may not be found some ideal way to provide for the special care some parents may need. Being aged and sick is something far less than an ideal existence, of course. None who have ever been involved in providing such care would suggest that it's always easily done. But whatever else may be said on the subject does not displace the duty that children have toward parents, and it should be considered a privilege to care for those who once cared for you. One of life's tragedies is to witness a neglected and ignored father or mother whose life is almost spent, whose children seem to lack even natural affection one would expect. So many children, although they're adults, are so concerned only for their own ways and their own ambitions, their own selfishness, that they neglect their parents. Honoring parents need not end with death, but only with the death of the child. holding parents in honor and precious memory is to continue to honor father and mother. How sweet and reassuring, how comforting and strengthening it is to recall the days of youth when the hands of father and mother were tending to our needs and guiding our hearts, showing us by word and deed the way that we should go. And when parents have crossed Jordan, those who have been so blessed to have had godly parents will come to appreciate more and more what benefits they received from their parents. There are some things that ought not to be done that some confuse as giving honor to parents. In some societies, that is a strong ancestor worship, but only God is to be worshipped. Civilizations that have engaged in ancestor worship have distorted their relationship to their parents and to God. Placing the will of parents before the will of God is again to get priorities confused. There are some who may never become Christians, never become children of God, because their parents were not Christians. Some hold the church back in its mission because parents used to do the same things. To be sure, when our parents follow the truth and we follow the truth, we will walk the same paths, but only because we are both following God. But with the changing of situation and conditions that are inevitable along the way of life, there may be various means of doing the same work that God wants done. We should not be so wedded to such things as once devised by our foreparents that we do not utilize more efficient and productive means of accomplishing the goal. This would be an improper attitude toward parents. At the same time, tried and proven means and methods should not be cast away hurriedly simply for the sake of doing things differently. We dare not fall into the deceptive manner that things that are new are always the best. To have the attitude that some display is to always do something differently, it may reflect we're more concerned with what is new than with what is true. And neither does the fifth commandment include the adoration of a self-appointed ecclesiastical fathers who call themselves father and who claim a spiritual parenthood over others. Did you not know? Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verse 9, "Call no man your father on the earth, for one is your father, even he who is in heaven." Now this certainly does not forbid calling our male parent by the term father, because the Holy Spirit used the same term in the same sense many times in Scripture. This does forbid using the term with reference to a spiritual title or distinction, looking to such as one elevated in rank as if he was a go-between of God and man. Romanism, as well as other religions, has grossly violated this teaching of Christ through the years. This practice is wrong, and it should be discontinued. What is the true way to honor parents? To live a godly and decent life before all men as God's child is a crown of everlasting glory to fathers and mothers. The greatest honor a child can bestow upon his parents is to live a consecrated and faithful Christian life. This builds for the parents a monument that shall endure after the passing away of stone. True honor begins with genuine love for parents. It is manifested even in little things, like keeping in contact with them, showing interest in their lives, as well as doing those things for them that need to be done. Letters, calls, gifts, remembrances, words, visits, honor of their views and respect for their advice are such things that parents may lawfully claim and expect from their children. Speaking respectfully of them, refraining from abusing them, being conscious of their feelings, trying to make their days bright as possible. All of these are ways and means of showing honor to parents which they deserve. Even when one is married and the first loyalty is to his or her mate, there is no cause to dishonor one's parents. Honoring parents brings blessings to the child as well as the parent. Virtue has its own reward. The serenity of conscience is likened unto the peace that passeth understanding. One who honors his or her parents will likely rear children who will in turn honor them. The Jews were promised a long existence in Canaan if they honored their parents. The dishonor of them and their loss of respect for parental and divine authority is what cost them their happiness and the continued possession of the land. There are two types of failures in the parent-child relationship. One is the slackened discipline of children to the point of abandonment. Parental authority has been weakened by poisonous philosophies which say, "Let the child express himself without discipline, lest you warp his personality." Dear listening friend, time has already proved that the most warped personality walking among men is that person who has been spared discipline, never learning self-control, never having been properly taught the difference between right and wrong. Punishment for wrongs committed, restraint wisely and firmly applied, is a blessing to one and all who receive it. It is God's way of teaching respect, and it cannot and will not be surpassed or equaled by the devices of men, especially those created by those who care nothing for the spirit of mankind and the existence of God. Sparing proper discipline has produced an age of license. Rape and arson and murder and similar inhumanities one toward another in our nation, it is a shame and a disgrace before history and the world at large. Righteousness, restraint, respect for parental and other authorities are acquired traits. It's not something that's just inherited. They must be taught. What failure has been the sorrow lot of many lives on this score. But a second type of failure is the domineering, autocratic, dictatorial parent who fails to properly consider the personal dignity and worth of the life and soul of the child. Notice, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. It has been violated by many even well-meaning parents. Children are like coiled springs. When they are born, pressed down at birth, but they must eventually be released. And when they are pressed during their formative years and not gradually allowed to uncoil under supervision, when the hour comes for them to be released, they will fly away in every direction. But when the pressure is gradually lifted, however carefully managed, the spring will uncoil, but will stand where it should. The fifth commandment is the guardian of the home. Godless forces are running loose in our world and sowing seeds of distrust and dishonor, as well as defiance and disrespect. A prime order of business for the Christian is to stabilize the sanctity and honor of the laws of God concerning the home. Let the home be treasured, parents honored, discipline learned, authority accepted and respected. Let intelligent youth join hands and hearts with concerned adults, and together they will be able to slay the dragons of evil that threaten everything that is good and pure and proper before God. Together, through Jesus Christ, an overwhelming victory will be won for all. If the home and the family are lost, society will degenerate to conditions heretofore believed impossible because of the extent of wickedness. May God grant that home and marriage and parent and child relationships be made to stand in the strength of the Lord. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.